WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at bullfallsradio.com.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. U.S. automakers got a brief reprieve from President Trump today. He's giving them a 30-day exemption from the tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Jeff Gilbert has more from Detroit.
This comes after the president spoke with the leaders of the Detroit three car companies. Analyst Carl Brower of iccars.com thinks Mr. Trump is trying to ease the pain of the tariffs.
Trump understands that if he makes prices for things like cars go up, he's going to contribute to inflation, and that's the last thing he wants to do.
Carmakers have said tariffs will raise their costs, something that could be passed on to car buyers. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is the latest federal agency to consider massive cuts to its workforce. In this case, 80,000 jobs. CBS's Michael Wallace.
The VA has 479,000 employees. And in an internal memo, its chief of staff says that number needs to get below 400,000 with the help of DOGE. Those cuts would wipe out the Biden administration's expansion of the VA in recent years. The VA oversees more than 200 hospitals and medical centers. More than 25% of its workforce are veterans themselves.
The White House says President Trump refuses to accept the VA bureaucracy and bloat that has hindered timely and quality care for veterans. Allison Keyes reports on the possibility some high-profile federal buildings were targeted for sale.
Some of the nation's most famous buildings were on the initial list posted Tuesday, including the J. Edgar Hoover Building in Washington, D.C., and the Sam Nunn Atlanta Federal Center. Hours later, that was down from more than 440 to 320, and there are none as of Wednesday afternoon. No comment so far from the General Services Administration.
The U.S. has been talking to Hamas, considered a terrorist group. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt.
The special envoy who's engaged in those negotiations does have the authority to talk to anyone.
Israel has been pressuring Hamas to release all of its remaining hostages despite the ceasefire framework. President Trump posted today, release all of the hostages now or it is over for you. He called the group sick and twisted for keeping dead bodies. With the start of Lent, a pastor in Georgia is calling for a boycott of Target for the next 40 days. That's in response to the retailer's decision to revoke its DEI initiatives. Pastor Jamal Bryant.
40 is the benchmark. It is not the finish line. So at the end of the 40 days, we will recalibrate, see where it is that we are, send our data to the board at Target, and if they don't respond, we'll go another 40.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A new audit of the voting machines in the November election found that all counted votes were tabulated correctly by voting machines in the Badger State. The Wisconsin Elections Commission conducted this audit. It's required under state law. 336 clerks hand-counted ballots to check them against the results of their tabulators. It found no miscounts or missed ballots. Meanwhile, they did find five errors in the audit of those 330,000-ish ballots. But they were all caused by people, not machines. Elections Administrator Megan Wolf hopes this gives people faith in our election results. Donald Trump beat Kamala Harris by 29,000 votes here in November. And if you want a spot on any of the NFL draft activities in Green Bay this April, you may want to register now. Lisa Hale has more.
Fans who want to attend any of the free events at Titletown for the NFL Draft Experience or who want to watch the draft activities at Lambeau Field are encouraged to register now and secure their spot for the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay, April 24th through the 26th. You can register by downloading the NFL OnePass app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Fans can also register online at nfl.com/draft access. All adults who want to attend must register, and each adult can include up to 5 children per entry. The events are free and are on a first-come, first-served basis. See our story at civicmedia.us for information.
And the Wausau Parks and Recreation Committee is considering having pop-up beer gardens in the city parks. It's a concept proven profitable and popular in other areas like De Pere and Milwaukee. They rotate parks and bring in a couple $1 million in revenue. Discussions are happening now on starting small and potentially amending laws to include wine sales. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
And welcome back. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, presented by K5 Construction, a family-owned and operated custom builder in central Wisconsin that stands out from the rest for its commitment to quality and excellence. From design and planning to final construction, K5 Construction delivers superior results on every project. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes, and time now for our student-athlete guest from Wausau West High School, senior defenseman Drake Kuharski. Drake, I know it's a busy week, so really appreciate you coming on by.
Yeah. Oh, there's been a busy week, like you said. Hard practice. We have been having good practices. Looking forward to this big state tournament this weekend, hoping to take the championship home with us, and going to have lots of fun.
Let's talk about this season as a whole, because coming into it, Coach, as you said, outside your locker room, I don't think a lot of folks were saying that Wausau West was going to find their way through this sectional, often called the sectional of death. Started off 3-3, and then after that seemed to get onto a roll. What was the feeling at the start of the year for you guys? I mean, you as a senior, we were just saying it was now or never to get to state.
Yeah.
What was the feeling at the start of the year? Did you feel like this was something that was not just possible, but something that could happen if you guys were able to play at the level that you know you can play at?
Yeah, I knew this would be possible. I feel like at the beginning of the season, we were kind of on the lower end. Like, we needed to find it where it was at, like the peak with the team, like coming together as a team and playing as a team. I feel like more towards the end of the year here now, we've finally made the coming together part happen as a team, and we've been playing good, and I think we have a really good shot at.
Was there a point in the season where you felt like it did come together? Was there maybe either a game or a moment where you said, okay, this is, we've turned the corner, now we are a dangerous team? Was there a moment this season that it kind of felt that way?
Not so much to me. I almost feel like we're kind of like up and down as a team. I feel like we had like a 6 or 7 8-game streak going there, and that's where my biggest moment where I felt where we were coming together as a team, like we were a dangerous team. And then we kind of fell off from there after we played Point and lost 7-1 on their home ice. I don't know, and then we kind of came back, brought it back together, and we've been playing good ever since then.
And, you know, hitting at the high point of the season right now, winning the sectional final and going down to state. And you said you were dangerous, and we've been playing good at this point. And off air, we were talking about all the things that you're looking forward to with the state tournament this weekend. What do you think right now makes Wausau West hockey hitting their peak right now? What are you guys doing really well on the ice that's just thriving and dangerous for opponents in your eyes?
I feel like a big thing we do as a team is we kind of take a lot of penalties, which is not so good, but our penalty kill is probably one of our best things right now. Like, we don't let many power plays score on us. Like, we have a really solid, strong penalty kill. I feel like when we get in the hang of it and we're playing good, we move the puck around a lot. Like, we move it good. We set things up, and we put the puck on net when we need to.
It's a good thing you the penalty kill on Friday.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, four times they had to do it in the third period. Yep. to hold on and beat Eau Claire Memorial. Let's kind of take a step back. How long have you been playing hockey? When did you first put on the skates?
I put my first pair of skates on when I was about 3 years old. I'm now 18. So it's been quite a while.
When did you feel like, hey, I'm pretty good at this? When did were you a natural at 3 years old? Or was there a point that you said, hey, I think I can do this pretty well. I'm going to put in the time, put in the effort, put in the miles. Because, I mean, the one thing about hockey, you guys travel all over the place. Was there a point that said, I think I can do this pretty well?
I think beginning, I don't really remember that far back. Like, yeah. But I think when I first noticed that, like, I can do this, it's probably Bantam year. Mm-hmm. First year of Bantams. Like, before then, it was just kind of like, I'm having fun doing this. But as soon as I hit Bantams, I was like, yeah, I want to continue to do this. And
were you always a defenseman?
I have always been a defenseman. I don't think I've ever played forward in my hockey career.
Have you ever had the urge to play forward?
Nope. Always been wanting to be a defenseman.
Very good.
And how about that journey in all those youth leagues? Are there still a lot of guys that are on your team currently that you kind of grown up playing with, or has it made new friends? I mean, because I think that when you become a senior and you graduate and, you know, your sport's done, you've made it to the culmination of a great career and a team-wise thing down at state, it's nice to do it with those buddies that have been a part of that for a while. Do you have a lot of guys that you played youth hockey with that are still there with you today?
Oh, yeah. Almost all the kids on our team right now I've played youth hockey with. Like, I don't know, just all of them. Like, all the seniors with me, I've played hockey with them my whole life. A lot of the underclassmen. I mean, yeah, I know them all.
Again, we're talking to Drake Kuharski, Wausau West High School senior, member of the Wausau West hockey team that is heading to the state tournament. They'll meet Notre Dame Academy in a state semifinal on Friday at 2 o'clock. We'll have the game right here on 98.9 WXCO. When you look at the game of hockey, and when we have hockey players on, I like to ask, because we don't have as many of the hockey players on, what is it about the game that drew you in? Because obviously as a young person, you get different options in terms of what sport you want to play. What is it about the game of hockey that drew you in?
I think it's going to be like the fast pace, the really fast movement of the game. Like, there's lots of physicality in it. Like, I don't know, there's just those two things is what really drew me in.
You've been a member of the varsity squad for 3 years now. How have you changed as a player? Where are the areas that you've most improved in?
I feel like I've most improved in being a better teammate, probably moving the puck around, keeping my head up. That's a real good one right there. I don't know, there's not much. I mean, I do whatever I'm coached to do. I mean, Coach Brandt, he's a good coach to me. If I'm doing something wrong, he's helping me. He's leading me in the right direction, and I feel like I've grown just as time goes on. Sure.
And you made it very clear that there's no – you never want to be a forward. You want to be a defenseman.
Oh, yeah.
What draws you to that position? Because if I asked a number of basketball players I've ever coached, it's the offensive side. But, you know, they want to put the ball in the basket. That's what they enjoy, firing the shots and stuff like that. So what draws you? But you need guys that do that, those reps and the roles and got that toughness. What draws you to be a defenseman? What do you like about it?
I don't know. I feel like being the one to put the body into another person's body is pretty fun. I feel like making that stop from a puck going in the back of the net is also a big thing. Like, I feel like more, I don't really know how to explain it, but I just feel good about myself, like, being able to stop that puck and keep that puck out of the back of the net and protect our goalie, Julian Scalcucci.
Just doing your job. It feels good, right?
Yep.
I will ask you, though, because this was the year you scored your first varsity goals, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, because I don't think you scored varsity goals before this year. Was there a thrill?
Oh, yeah, there was a thrill. I mean, when I scored that, I scored my second or third varsity goal against Rapids. I mean, it was just kind of like, whoa, the puck was in the back of the net. And it was stood in the corner, let all the guys huddle up around me, and I went through the shake the hands of the bench, and it was that.
Is there a risk on that? Are you out of position when you're doing that? Are you too far?
No.
Or is there set plays where you can?
There's not so necessarily set plays. It was almost kind of like I read the play right where the puck was going, and it came my way, and I had the opportunity to shoot the puck, and it just ended up in the back of the net.
And it's one of those things, if you score, what's the coach going to say, right?
Yeah,
you
right?
Just put the ball in the net, you know, or the puck in the net for him. So.
Let's kind of step away from the ice, and we'll get back to it and talk about the game coming up on Friday. But when you're not playing hockey, what do you like to do?
Big fisherman. I love fishing. I do lots of ice fishing. I do lots of open water fishing. That's probably one of my main things I love to do. I just recently got into it, but that's probably my favorite thing to do now.
I've heard about open water. What makes it unique? What makes it special?
I don't know. I feel like being out on the boat with your family, girlfriend, whoever you're going to be out there with, just in the sun, in a swimsuit, casting a pole around, catching some fish. I mean, there's nothing better than it.
Best fish you caught so far?
34-inch northern, I think, is one of the biggest.
Are you that into it where, like, you're going to be one of those guys that just caught it in some lake up north? You won't give the name away?
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Catch and release. I don't keep fish. I don't really eat fish. It's just I go out there.
It's a thrill of getting one.
Yep.
It's, again, like a challenge.
Yep.
Like playing hockey. Trying to be the best you can be.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite class in school?
I'm not. Don't care too much about school, but I mean, you got to do it because sports and
right.
You got to keep your grades good. Yeah. My favorite classes would probably be the manufacturing classes. Mm-hmm. I'm big into that. I like woodworking and stuff like that.
Are you hoping to play hockey anymore after high school?
I mean, if I get the chance to and I see some or someone talks to me about it, I might think about that. Otherwise, I'm just going to go into the workforce and go into the trades or do whatever.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, because you play, you said, since 3 years old. Would you be someone, because there are adult leagues like that, would you be somebody that would want to play in some way? Or after this point where you play at such a high level that you could step away? Because I think some people just love being around it and just have to be, no matter what the level is. And others would say, well, I played at such a high level. Go to the state tournament. Mm-hmm. Play for one of the best high school hockey programs in the state. How do you look at it? Do you see yourself playing hockey in some way as you get older?
I'm definitely not going to take myself away from it. I'll be around it the rest of my life. I'll go watch games. I'll go do this. Maybe I'll play men's league on Sunday nights. You never know. I mean, might come to mind. Otherwise, I don't know. There's just go out, skate on outdoor rinks with buddies, maybe. I don't know.
They always have that around Christmas time, the 3-on-3.
Yep.
They bring them back.
Yep.
So I bet you'll always be coming back for that, right?
I'm sure I'll do that.
What do you have a trade in mind? You seem very decisive. If there's no more hockey after that, you're going to go into the workforce. Do you have a trade in mind?
I'm thinking electrical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's look at this state tournament experience, because you guys will head down tomorrow.
Yep.
What are you, besides the game itself, what are you most excited about this experience? Is there anything in particular about this experience that you're really looking forward to?
Probably an environment, I'd say. I mean, it's going to be lots of people there. It's like, I've never really played skate on the ice around this many people, and it's just going to be something crazy to experience. And then, I don't know, it's going to be awesome to see.
Mm.
Lots of fun.
Have the coaches, since we've talked off air, you haven't been there since 6 years. It's brand new for you, which is, I think it's awesome no matter what, whether this is your third time going or it's brand new. It's just something you're going to get to have as a memory for the rest of your life because it's such a special thing. Have the coaches kind of given you guys any advice, because they've been there before, or are they more so just, does it seem like they're just kind of letting you figure out and you can go all in and kind of see what it's like?
For game-wise and, like, play-wise, he's given us advice, like, scouting reports against other teams and who we're playing and this and that. But, I mean, like, being in the environment and going there, he lets us know, like, what it's like. But it's kind of also, like, we're going to, like, get to see it ourselves and, like, figure it out on our own and, like, see what the environment is like. I don't know. I can't wait.
And I got to imagine you got probably a vibe from your teammates already. There's a little bit of everything as there would be expected, right? Some nervousness, some confidence because you're also playing well. You want to leave nothing for second chance guesses. You want to finish it out. So I got to imagine it's a culmination of a bunch of emotions. And
yep.
You'll get to figure it out when you get there. And
yep.
Both teams have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at Notre Dame, obviously that's a program that's had incredible success in recent years. You had a chance to play them over at Cornerstone between Christmas and New Year's. What stood out about Notre Dame Academy that you're going to kind of take onto the ice on Friday?
They're a very skilled, fast-paced, moving team. They move the puck around a lot. Their power plays, just they're good. They like to find that bumper guy that sits in the middle. And I don't know, I think we play like we played against Memorial on Friday, and we have a good chance, I think.
That first Notre Dame game was interesting because I think it was the day after the Springs game, if I'm not mistaken. And that was a tough one. And I thought that maybe was one of the turning points where you guys kind of you bounce back. And I think one of the great things about athletics, especially high school athletics, is that ability to come right back and to be able to, you know, get knocked down and then get back up again. Did having that win against Notre Dame Academy add confidence to you and your group? Because they obviously have been a team that's been at the top of Wisconsin high school hockey for such a long time. To go into their building and to win that hockey game, was that maybe a bit of a spark plug for your team?
Oh, yeah, I think that was a big spark for our team. I mean, we've played them every year the past previous how many years I've played. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've always given up good games, but we've also had those bad games against them where it's like they just kick our butts and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. So right. Beating a good, skilled team like that feels awesome and gives our team such good confidence.
From what you might remember from the first meeting to the next game you'll play on Friday, is there something that your team's going to have to do well to get, you know, you obviously talked that you're at full strength. That last time you might not have been, you still won the game, which is great. And everybody's on a high, you know, so sometimes those games can start off a little different till everybody gets their bearings right away. Is there something, let me ask you this, to play well on Friday, what's one thing you want to see out of your team?
I think one thing I'd like to see out of our team is moving the puck around a lot. I feel like there's times where we do a lot of individual skilled things and that kind of brings our team down. Like that causes just nonsense and lots of craziness on the bench and wherever it is. But I think if we move the puck around and we play good and skilled and structured as a team, I think we'll play good. We'll do good.
How much of an advantage is it to have played them before? And I ask you this because if you win on Friday, then on Saturday you'd play a team that you haven't played before. Mm-hmm. Is it a big advantage knowing what you're going into on Friday?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a big advantage for sure. I mean, we know what they're like. Like, we've seen them before. We've seen them how many years in a row. Like, we know how they play. We know how they move the puck. We know how fast, skilled they are. I think, yeah, that's a big advantage.
What has been the response from people around you after Friday? Because it was such a wonderful run to beat Superior, to beat New Richmond, to beat Eau Claire Memorial, all really, really good hockey teams to get to state. What has been the response for the people in your life, whether your family or your girlfriend or whoever it may be? What has it been like with the people around you?
I feel like there's been lots of excitement. Like, family, like, they're super excited to go there. Like, I feel like I don't think any of my family's ever been there. Maybe one or two times when my brother was back playing. I don't know. All the students at West, they're all super excited. Mm-hmm. They're super pumped to come down and watch this. Like, it's something that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's anything that any of my family or any of the students or any of them will forget either.
Mm-hmm. I always like this person, and you probably, yeah, I'll let you try to answer it, but I don't know if you can. The fact to try to slow down that moment, because all these great moments in our lives, they go by so fast. And like before you know, you come in as a freshman, the next thing you know, you're all graduating as a senior.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it wasn't that long ago, but then it goes by too fast. Same thing could be happening about this moment. And that's one of the tough parts about life, is you can't slow those moments down. Sometimes you don't get them back for whatever reason. So is there anything you're going to do to just try to, I guess, slow the moment down or keep it in perspective and make the most of it? Because so many times, you know, you want to get down there on Thursday. Get your bearings down. We're going to the next thing. We got to get to the game. Now the game starts. Now we got to play well. And it's always this constant, fast thought process that you enjoy it, but it's hard to do in the moment. And then before you know it, the buzzer goes off and you stand where you stand. Is there anything you think you can do to slow down and make it more special for yourself?
I don't know if there's really be anything I could slow it down with. I mean, like you said, with being a freshman, the next thing you know, you're a senior. Like, it goes by so fast. I mean, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to have the most fun I can. I mean, I'm going to live it up. And I mean, there's really nothing you can do to slow it down. I mean, time goes. Time flies.
You always ask the seniors as we get down to the end of the line about what they're going to miss the most. I think this would be a good point to ask that one, right?
Yeah, so you know, you've been there, West Hockey, 4 years. You've been in the youth leagues. You talked about your friendships, what hockey means to you, what you enjoy about the sport. I always like to hear senior, because you know, at the end of the day, too, everybody wants to have their time valued and know what effort they put in was reciprocated and what they got out of it. So reflecting on it right now, really quick, unfortunately, really quickly, what are you going to miss the most whenever that final moment comes for your hockey career over at Wausau West? What's going to be the thing that you will always cherish and remember?
I think I'm going to miss the kids that I played with and grew up playing with the most. I mean, they've done so much. Like, we've been together how long? I mean, even though it's just a friendship, that you're not with each other like after the game or at school or anything. I mean, we're always together. It's like we're brothers. It's like, I mean, I don't know. There's so much memories made with them that I think I'm going to miss the most.
And our final question always is, especially for a senior, because you've been through it, you've, you know, put in the hours, put in the time. For a freshman that is part of the program, maybe just starting their journey, you know, Jeff was saying it goes so fast. What piece of advice would you give based on what you've learned during your high school hockey career to a freshman just starting their process?
I'd say don't get upset, don't get frustrated, don't take anything for granted. I mean, there's going to be lots of up and downs with the team. There's going to be lots of up and downs with just, lots of up and downs with just whatever you're doing and how you play the game. I mean, you're being coached to play the game right. Listen to coaches. I mean, do whatever they're teaching you and coaching you to do and have fun.
Drake Kuharski, senior for the Wausau West Warriors, number one. Congrats on a terrific season and best of luck. I'll try to win that state championship this weekend.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick time out and come right back. Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO.
State champions are crowned at a record-setting wrestling state tournament. I'm Travis Wilson, and this is a WISSports.net Minute brought to you by Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. More high school sports news after this. You may have heard of Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells, one of the country's premier destinations for youth sports and events, but did you know that Just a Game does so much more? Just a Game also delivers end-to-end apparel, equipment, and event solutions with their state-of-the-art screen printing and embroidery facility that can help with branding for your team and business items, including uniforms, apparel, and more. Just a Game also offers digital services that include a cashless digital platform and event live streaming. Just a Game has also added a second brand new facility in Reedsburg. Find more information at justagame.com. A record attendance of more than 69,000 spectators watched the biggest individual wrestling state tournament in WIA history last week, with 54 champions crowned, plus the first ever girls' team championship. A pair of boys wrestlers joined Elite Company as four-time state champions, a club that now features 31 members. Koji Campbell of Kenosha St. Joseph claimed the title in the 126-pound weight class of Division III to finish a perfect 54-0. Joining him as a four-time individual champion is Danny Heiser of Evansville, who dominated his way to a 52-0 record and Division II title in the 157-pound weight class. There could be another member that joins that four-time group next year, as Dodgeville junior Hacken Peterson won his third championship this season. Also picking up their third titles were seniors Liam Neitzel of Hudson, Kellen Wolbert of Oconomowoc, and Tristan Stealth of Fenimore. Evansville claimed the most boys' individual state titles with three. Over on the girls' side, Milton captured the first-ever girls' team title with 62 points. Next year, the girls' team title will be decided via a true wrestling team state tournament, like the boys, as the sport continues to take off in interest and participation. Senior Taylor Whiting of Lena became the second girls' wrestler to win three individual championships, capturing the title at 114 pounds. This has been a WISSports.net Minute. Check us out online at WISSports.net.
And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show, 98.9 WXCO, brought to you by K5 Construction. And it doesn't get better than going to state as a senior, does it?
No. I was just thinking about, it's a unique experience whenever you go. I mean, I went as a sophomore, but then, and then you have the dreams to get back, and you never do.
Right, you never know.
I think it's all, yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed, right?
It's all a culmination. It's a cool thing to go. He's going to have memories made just by getting to show up on the ice. A lot of fun things are going to happen.
Well, let's talk briefly about the hockey, actually, because we just talked with Drake. WIAA Boys and Girls State Hockey Tournament gets underway tomorrow down at Bob Suter's Legacy 20 Arena in Middleton. We got West, the Storm, and also Tomahawk just a little bit north of here back at state for the second year in a row. In fact, they will open up the tournament tomorrow. Division II boys semifinals 9:30 a.m. I mean, it's such a different feel because you're used to playing at 7 o'clock in the evening, and then you get to state, and you're playing at 9:30 in the morning. And we've seen that in basketball. We see that in other sports. It does affect players, doesn't it? Because it's so different.
Well, and sometimes you'll see coaches build into their schedules. Some, you know, they'll go to, like, for basketball, you go to the Century Classic.
Sure.
Because you could get an early game, and it might help you for this if you think you have a team. But it does. It's just because the logistics are there. The kids, you got to make sure bedtime's right. You got to make sure they're getting up at the right time. And you want to get a strong start. And morning games are never the easiest thing, especially when high school players are groomed to play those varsity games with 7 o'clock times, most likely time slots for the start of their game. So it's different.
So Tomahawk, number one seed. They are the number one ranked team in Division II. They will take on number four seeded McFarland. And McFarland, they have to feel dark. Well, number one, Tomahawk beat Mosinee in the sectional final on Friday night. But McFarland, they had to go many overtimes during their playoff run, back-to-back games. They got through in a, I think it was a, one of the games was, a, yeah, five overtime marathon with Monona Grove, and they won 2-1. Five overtimes.
It's a lot extra.
Well, the thing is, the overtime rules have been kind of changed in hockey. It starts with an 8-minute overtime. 5-on-5, then it goes to a 17-minute overtime, 5-on-5. If it's still tied, it goes to a 17-minute overtime, 4-on-4, and I think then it goes... I mean, it is so confusing, yeah. And I just play the game 5-on-5, and then if it's still... If it goes 4-on-4 to 3-on-3, so by the time you get to the fifth overtime, it's 3-on-3. I hate that. I hate the idea that a trip to state or a state championship could be decided in a 3-on-3 situation. It's not the way you play the game.
No, well, you've just changed the dynamics of what those teams do based on the number of players they normally have on the ice, barring any penalties. And at the same time, you've also, I think, watered it down because of the amount of space on the ice.
It's a just, different feel.
And now you're asking these kids, too, that have gone and given it their all, and both teams have been equally matched based on the score, to finish it out under those circumstances. I don't know. I don't think that's a fair... I don't like the fairness factor in that, but
I'm the
not a hockey guy.
Second semifinal tomorrow, Division II Amory against Somerset St. Croix Falls. And then the girls will take over for the second session tomorrow. The first semifinal, number one seed, the Bay Area Ice Bears. They have been the number one ranked team throughout the state, throughout the season, I should say. And, I mean, they've been very impressive. Saw them in the final game of the regular season. I wish I did it because I hit a deer that night, but that's a whole different story. But they have been just outstanding. And they take on the Cap City Cougars, the number four seed. And then the Central Wisconsin Storm takes on the ECA Stars. And it's really two teams that have had great years and two teams that, well, they've got hot at the right time because... The Ice Bears are 25-1. The Cougars are 15-12, and then the Storm, they are 22-4, and ECA is 13-14. They're a losing record going to state.
Have the Storm beat them yet?
They beat them twice. They beat them 8-1 in Eau Claire, but then at Greenheck, it took overtime to win 2-1 second time around. So obviously ECA did show they could play with them.
Do you think hockey works in that same mindset? Do you think there's a...
Is it hard to beat a team three times?
That's what
think it may well. I mean, I don't think it's easy. And hockey is such a... It's a wild card with the goalies. It really is. If you have a great goaltender night, you can be outshot 40-10 and win the game. I mean, it's really craziness. And then Division One on Friday, 10 a.m., number one seed Brookfield takes on number four seed at Edgewood, and then number two Wausau West against number three Notre Dame at 2 p.m. And I think the Division One field is wide open. Any one of those four teams could be state champs. I think that is as really tight as you're going to see, I think, compared to the other two divisions.
From what you've watched at state over the years and what you see just in your general hockey analysis, what do you think it takes to play well right there when you hit the sheet of ice?
Man, sometimes you're... It is...
Especially when it's wide open. So there's...
Well, the whole thing about it is that you have to be disciplined. I think that disciplined in two different ways. Disciplined in terms of positioning on the ice to not allow your opponents to get great opportunities. That's one thing West did exceptionally well on Friday in the sectional final. Their discipline, their defense positioning, their everything they did was really, really solid. But sometimes you just, you know, you get excited, your positioning gets off. It allows a talented player to get either to the outside or get to a space between the circles or whatever it may be, and also make sure that you don't get so juiced up that you take silly penalties, because power plays can be such a big factor in hockey.
And you've seen West, you've seen a lot of West games, so you've seen them early on when they were, like you said, 3-3, and then as they've progressed, all in the culmination of playing really well in these playoffs. What do you like about what they're doing right now?
Boy, they're doing a lot right now. I mean, their number one line is scoring a lot of goals. They got a line, and the thing that's scary about it, their leading scorers, a line of a junior, and a sophomore. I mean, that's scary stuff. I mean, these are the kids that right now are doing the job on their top line. Really, really impressive. And again, I thought their defense just gets better and better and better. And that's why it's nice to have Drake here tonight, because I think from the beginning of the year to where we are now and the way they played in the sectional final, the defense discipline has been great. And also the thing that stands out is they got a terrific goaltender, sophomore Julian Scalcucci, who's played every minute except for one period this year, which is pretty amazing. You don't see that very often, goaltenders. So I think there's a lot to like, and I think for both the Storm and for the Warriors, there's good chances. And tomorrow night, I'll be on the air from Middleton, Bob Suter's Legacy 20 Arena, 7:06 for the pregame, 7:30 for the opening faceoff, and then Friday, Wausau West against Notre Dame Academy, two-time defending state champs. I mean, that's a great matchup. 1:35 for the pregame, 2 o'clock for the opening faceoff. And then if the Storm win on Thursday night, they play at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I'll be there. And then if the Warriors win on Friday, they play at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So
a lot of good things. A lot of excitement. Hopefully some wins, yeah.
I'm looking forward tomorrow morning after my show to hit the road, get there, and see some state tournament hockey.
Be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. Let's take a one-minute break here. 2000 Ian, one-minute break, and then we'll come back and we're going to delve into the basketball. Lots of brackets. Yep. Boys and girls, we'll get right on it in 1 minute here on 98.9 WXCO.
For the first time in 6 years, the Wausau West hockey team is at the state tournament. On Friday afternoon, the Warriors will hit the ice against two-time defending Division I state champion Notre Dame Academy in a state semifinal. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 1:35 and the opening faceoff at 2 p.m. Wausau West Hockey from the state tournament is brought to you by Four Seasons Golf, the Wausau Cyclones, Mike Whitmore Construction, Mosini Family Chiropractic, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. It's Wausau West versus Notre Dame Academy in a Division I hockey state semifinal. Friday, starting with the pregame show at 1:35 on 98.9 WXCO.
Along with Jeff Grass, I'm Chad Holmes, Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction here on 98.9 WXCO. Hey, we did Division I on the boys' side for the regionals coming up on Friday and Saturday. Division II, sectional number one. You got Wausau East, the number one seed, taking on number 8 seeded Merrill. Last night, Merrill beat Antigo by a score of 84-61. Merrill scored 51 points in the first half. I have to admit, I am shocked they scored 51 points in the first half, because, frankly, I thought they were rather passive against Wausau West last week. And I think for Merrill, in order to beat Wausau East, they cannot be passive. They have to be, I think, aggressive, play like they did last night, and go after the Lumberjacks.
Yeah, the games that where I've seen Merrill have a lot of success, whether it's on the scoreboard, whether it's some highlights on the news, whether when I watched him early on, which was, I think, the first game of the year against Newman, they were very aggressive, and they definitely have the players and that kind of brutality to them, where they're a very physical team, and guys that can put the ball in the basket that have Locksmiths and Wikes and Page. I think for Merrill to have success against East, that's, they're going to have to come out and give those first couple punches. For East, got to give them credit. Anytime you can go out and get the number one seed, you got to feel good about that. And I still think that they're waiting, you know, when Nebgesic got sick, still waiting to hit that moment back, which it's going to happen. They've played a lot together. You just kind of get your feet back under there. It's going to be, again, you got two Valley teams going right at each other. And for Merrill, you know, just kind of labeled as a Valley team, your last hurrah being the Valley team.
So. When I was coming home last night for my game, caught the post game of the Merrill broadcast, and it sounds like they do have a little illness. So that's something that, again, is a big factor. So I did not get all the details there, but it sounds like they are battling a little illness. Hopefully it will be better as we get towards Friday. But also 2 years ago, kind of a similar situation. Merrill went to a higher seeded Mosinee and pulled off the upset. So Coach Pieper knows, I think, what to do in this situation. And he's had, you know, and he was saying in his post game interview last night that, hey, they're due that against East, and they feel like they're as good as East. It's taken nothing away from East, but they're as good. And I think the mindset is they're going to go after them on Friday night.
Well, I'm trying to think. Again, we've watched or talked about so many games. I can't remember if I saw a Merrill East game this year or I'm running that into last year when I saw one. But there's always this element of these physical presence out of these two teams on the court at that point. They're going at each other like a boxing match because they just war with each other. And I think that when it gets into conference play, when they do that, it's because they're in the same division for the playoffs. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of different ways to look at these playoffs. You've already beat a team twice. You're trying to get the upset because you were beat twice. Or is it just, you know, the kids have got the tools. They've been encouraged and worked with by the coaches, giving some more advice for this game because the coaches are going to coach. And then it's kind of up to the players. I mean, I had a coach one time in a playoff game early on in my career say, hey, you know, we really have nothing to do with this anymore. They just got to go out and play, and it's the prisoners running the asylum. And to there's some truth to that. So I think it's going to be a fun game. They know each other well. I love watching the chess match when two teams know each other well. Both have weapons on each side. And it'll see, is East fully recovered from when Nebez was sick? Is Merrill still a little bit tottering because of the sickness? We'll see. But I think it's going to be a great game in a fun high school atmosphere.
The winner of that one will take on either number 5 Medford or number 4 Menominee. Medford travels. Interesting, Medford, a number 5 seed, almost won the conference. But so obviously I think the regional final will be interesting. You have Rhinelander, the number 2 seed, hosting number 7 Rice Lake. Ashland and New Richmond are actually playing tonight. They got postponed last night. The winner of that one will play at number 3 River Falls. But Rhinelander obviously coming in with a little momentum after winning the conference. Medford is going to be a tough team. East, obviously. I think that's a very interesting top half of the bracket.
It is. And for Medford, I'm curious because, again, we've talked about that 9-3 mark, second place finish in the conference with Mosinee, have done really well in conference
right
down the second half of the season. And the biggest struggles came in non-conference games. So going on the road, are they playing their best ball right now? Is it going to be another struggle just because they haven't hit the mark in their non-conference games? I guess we'll see. For Rhinelander, I think just poised to continue to try to get the job done to the best of their ability. And they're bringing in number 7 seed Rice Lake. And I think, you know, Rice Lake handled Lakeland in the first round of their playoff game, beating the number 10 Lakeland team. So, it'll be good for Rhinelander because you got them against a similar foe that you already played twice within your conference. So interesting to see how those two GNC teams do in the playoffs.
And then at the bottom of that sectional in another regional bracket, Mosinee is a number 4 seed. They will take on number 5 seeded Sparta at home. Sparta got past Shawano in a rather tight one, 72-67. The winner of that game will take on either number 1 Onalaska or number 8 Toma. So again, not the easiest bracket for Mosinee.
No, and it's funny how, again, you shift out of an area that you've been accustomed to, you get to see different teams. But does it, you know, is it harder? Is it nice because it's different? You know, that's kind of up to the players and the coaches on that opinion. Those 4 or 5 games are tough sometimes because if the computer's done its job, you're supposed to be pretty tight in that, even whether you have the home court advantage or not. Obviously, being the 4 is much nicer because you like to play in your own gym where you practice and stuff. So I still think We talked about a little bit of the youth on Mosinee. I still think they've played well throughout this year and are going to be they're going to do what they do. They're going to be physical. They're going to be athletic. They're going to be aggressive. And Sparta's going to have
a high ceiling. I've said that. You know, they got good talent. They got a high ceiling. I think, again, as a forward, they have the ability, if they play at that high level, to be able to beat somebody at a higher seed.
Well, and you know, most the teams aren't lucky enough to run the gamut, and they're a game away from being conference champion. They lost a round. It's one game, not whether even maybe you played solid enough in it, you just lost it. You lost that one game. So I think they're still a good team, and I think they still have marks they can hit. And it's nice to have when some of those sophomores are doing a good job among your other supporting cast. It's a good play to have.
Division three, Wittenberg-Burnham, the number two seed. They will take on Wrightstown on Friday, number seven seed. They beat Amherst last night, 75-44. Menominee Nation from the CWC East knocked off Tomahawk from the GNC, 71-30 last night. Number six seed will take on number three seed Seymour in that same bracket. The two winners will then meet in a regional final on Saturday. And Northern Pines is the number four seed in that bracket. They will take on number five seeded Oconto Falls. And again, you talked a little bit about Whitburn. Pines has been a team that's sort of been interesting. We still remember seeing them back Thanksgiving weekend when they came to the Wausau West Turkey Shoot. And Menominee Nation's actually been a little bit of I think they've taken some steps forward for that program. They've had some difficulties athletically in the number six seed. But Whitburn, can they find their sea legs?
Well, yeah, again, and the only thing that makes you, I mean, they're a good basketball team. They got good guard play. They've been putting up points. They had 11-3 mark in their conference, 17 wins overall. And I thought, I don't know. Mana was kind of down at the bottom of the conference. So to beat Mana by 20, they should have done it, but they also needed a win at that point because they were struggling in that category. So they've earned a number two seed for the team they are. And I like to think if you go out and earn it, you should be able to take down the number seven seed. And you have some familiarity because that Wrightstown team just beat Amherst, who's been their conference forward. They got two victories. And Pines, again, is always that little bit of a undecisive team of where they end
right
up.
In the middle of the GNC.
They're a 4-5 matchup there. That one's, I think, could be a flip of a coin again to see who comes out and play better that night.
And the good news for Whitburn is they could play two home games this week to get to sectionals. That's always a good thing to be a number two seed like that.
Yes.
Division four, again, this is a fun bracket.
Fun as long as you're not sitting the sideline, right?
You're exactly right. Sectional two, top half of the bracket. Number one seed is Auburndale. They will host number eight seeded Colby on Friday. Number five Phillips, number four Marathon. I'm sure you can break that one down since you saw this matchup just a couple of weeks ago. And then the winners meet on Saturday. Of course, Marathon could be going to Auburndale if both teams win on their home courts Friday. That quarter of the bracket, what do you think?
Well, I want to see Auburndale's consistency because they were 21-1 up until a couple, kind of the last 2 weeks when we were talking, and they took two losses that moved them out of the first place in that conference, as well as, you know, there's again when the seeding meeting comes out.
I know.
Because they held that number one seed because of the record and the games they had before that. So are they going to get it back to where they're in their winning ways, or are they going to? We don't know. For them, they're going to beat number eight Colby. They won the first meeting at the beginning of the year, and I would think they're going to get them to get that Merriwood showdown. For Marathon, you know, we saw the loss at Assumption, which was on a less tough place to play. Assumption played well that night. Marathon played well enough to win it too. The ball just didn't go in a basket a couple times. They needed it too.
And then the next game, though, they had trouble with Edgar at home.
Yeah.
So it looks like, boy, they're kind of teetering a little bit. Yeah. And then bang, probably their best performance of the year to win at Auburndale.
And that's, yeah. So I think Marathon's, you know, if they could get that inside outside game going, they're deadly because we know they could play inside, and that's where teams are going to try to keep them away from the basket, off the free throw line, keep them out around the arc. And when they're hitting some of those shots, which that night that we saw them, they easily could have. And then again, fast forward to the next game, we saw when we watched them beat Phillips. I think they got Phillips' number. They know how to frustrate Phillips, even though Phillips has a couple of solid scores. They frustrated them really good the night we watched defensively. They were in their face. They weren't getting clean looks, couldn't pivot around and turn to see the passing lanes they wanted to. And it's, you know, for Phillips, there's a lot of pressure there to go back in that gym again and try to get a team that beat you up the first time you saw them.
And then Stratford is the number two seed. They will take on Edgar. Boy, Stratford, Edgar, no matter what sport, often is just a war. Edgar barely survived Abbotsford in overtime And so Edgar and Stratford, Hurley will be taking on either Washburn or Spencer. That game going on right now. In fact, maybe over by now, 6 o'clock tip. But Stratford, boy, they're playing well.
Yes, they are. And I just the win over at Assumption was by a good margin. They beat Edgar twice in the regular season. I again, tough call because it's a playoffs and they play each other and they know each other. So I got to imagine Edgar's going to try to come throw some punches. How well can Stratford or not have a letdown? That's the big deal for them to finish out that game and continue their wins on into the playoffs.
And also bottom half of the bracket, number one seed is Bondiwell. They take on CWC East rival Shiocton. And Iola Scandinavia, as we mentioned, tied with Whitburn for second, number three seed in that bracket. They'll take on Algoma. So, again, that CWC top tier we saw in Whitburn is in Division III, but those two, Bondiwell and Iola, I think they're lined up to make a decent run.
Yeah, especially, you know, we talk about Bondiwell, just the amount of wins they get. They had one little mark on their record, which might not have been a bad one to have and take right before playoffs. So it'll be, and Iola, I think, playing some better basketball than they were at the beginning of the season to try to creep back up to the top of that conference, get a couple wins against some good teams in their conference, and we'll see where they make of themselves as the season winds down here.
Division 5, sectional number 2, a couple of area teams involved in games last night. I was over in Leona as Newman Catholic fell to number 5 seed Wabino Leona by a score of 63-49. Quincy Fender at 26 for the Cards. Jacob Piffner 16. Cooper Albrecht 22 for Wabino Leona. And their bracket opened up because number 13 Goodman Pembine defeated number 4 White Lake of 53-44. Also in that bracket, number 6 Northern Lutheran beat number 11 Gresham 73-58. They will take on number 3 Tigerton. And we talked earlier about how they played just last Thursday. Tigerton beat number 14 Wild Rose 65-43. Bottom of the bracket, Pacelli, number 2 seed, 75-26 over Marion. But looking at that part of the bracket, obviously Newman saying, boy, could have won, could have had a home game on Friday night, but season came to an end for the Cards.
Well, I know, looking down the road, I remember years where Assumption and Columbus and we're all hanging in that bracket too, and now they've gone to different areas. So tough one for the Cardinals. They definitely sounds like with the leading scores and the offensive production was there, but you got to keep that team in check defensively. And it's one of those things where if you're a competitor and it bothers you, it's one of those things, what if we could have a home, maybe the regular season didn't go exactly our way, but we could have had a home playoff game people were talking about it already that White Lake wasn't a strong 4 seed and that they could be beat by the 13 seed. And then you win that one. And another thing that you could be playing in a regional final on your home court being the 12 seed, which doesn't happen very often. For Northern Lutheran, it's nice to see them, get that win in the first round at the number 6 seed over Gresham, who they should have beat. Tough road ahead to turn around and play at Tigerton. But again, it's anything goes in the playoffs. So see what Northern Lutheran can conjure up Friday night at Tigerton.
Rib Lake and Prentice from the Merriwood North, both victorious over in sectional 1. Rib Lake defeated Thorpe 50-34. They'll take on big Northern rival Flambeau coming up on Friday. And Prentice beat Athens, as you said. Athens had beat Prentice in the final night of the regular season. Couldn't do it two times in a row. Prentice beat them 79-61. And also in D5 in sectional number 3, Assumption, number 7 seed, beat New Lisbon 67-48, and they take on Columbus.
I saw, I turned on a little bit of the Assumption game because it was later than most. It had a 7:15 start, so got to see them a little bit. And they had that, it took them till the second half, but they had that game in check.
Yeah, they're tied at half.
Yeah, they had that game in check in the middle of the second half and took over and won on their home court. Again, playing like they are. Up and down, fast pace, a lot of pressure in the zone, and kind of falls down to how they hit their shot. I think that'll be an interesting match with Columbus, because if you know anything about Columbus, they can hit from the outside, and if they are on, it's not a fun game usually if you're the other team. For I found that Prentice Athens stuff interesting, that you can kind of get beat up in the last game of the regular season by the team you're going to face in the playoffs and turn around and switch it and win it. So interesting matchup there for Prentice. And Rib Lake, I watched them against Newman when Newman played up there in the last 4 weeks of the season, and they have a solid team. They have some kids that can shoot the ball, some guards that can get the ball up and on the floor, play solid defense, and it'll be interesting to see how much they can continue. And they got another home game versus Flambeau Friday night.
Let's turn to the girls. We don't have a lot of time, so we have to kind of fly through this. Division One, Stevens Point is still involved. They have a sectional semifinal tomorrow night against Appleton East. And Stevens Point beat D.C. Everest in the regional semifinals, 48-23. And then they beat Eau Claire North in the regional final. They're the last standing in that part of the bracket.
Which we've talked about, that they should be the last standing team based on what they did in the regular season. For them, what you got to love about this one is sometimes locations of places that decide to hold the game, and they get to go to a familiar Valley court they've played on twice this season, where they're at D.C. Everest. And their young talent in Soybert, and they also have Owie, the freshman, playing. It'll be a nice run to have the regional final that they have in the first round of the sectional, see how well they play against the Appleton East team.
Division Two, we're talking about this last week, the potential of round three between Mosinee and Lakeland. They played a pair of three-point games during the Great Northern Conference season, but boy, Lakeland in the regional final on Saturday defeated Mosinee by a score of 66-40. Christina Womet had 19 points for Lakeland. Addison Henrick had 14. Lakeland did a great job against the all-conference performer, Taylen Jerschley, but that one stood out. And now Lakeland takes on Rice Lake, who they lost to earlier in the season. Rice Lake actually lost to Mosinee late in the season. So I think that's a very doable game as well for Lakeland in the sectional semifinals. And then the winner of that one will take on either Shawano or Marinette for a trip to state on Saturday.
Yeah, I think all those things are the interesting part of high school sports, how the team you just beat also beat the team you're just going to face.
who beat you earlier,
who I think Rice Lake is the number one seed, correct? And Lakeland's the number two. So I think that that's just an interesting matchup that's going to be. You got Womet, who can definitely have a scoring push, plus more of a supporting cast. And for Lakeland, obviously you can see the damage done when they held Jerschley in check with the number of points she had.
Wittenberg-Burnhamwood still undefeated. Not blowouts in the regionals. They defeated Oconto Falls 66-52 and then beat Seymour 55-45. So Whitburn in number two seeded Freedom. And over the years, it seems like Freedom has had Whitburn's number a number of times in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to play at Wapaka. Freedom is, I wrote this down to make sure I knew it, 20 win season already. They were 14-4 for second place in a tough conference. And they have I wonder if the stats are right, because when I check the stats, they have like three or four players average about 8 points. But I don't know if every game's in there. But if that's the case and they're winning, they're obviously playing a lot on the defensive end, if that's true.
Well, real quick, Freedom in their last game when they beat Menominee Nation 60-42, 11 players scored, none in double digits. So it looks like it is a wide swath of scores.
And we've talked about that can be a big deal going down. Who are you going to shut down? You only got one time to see this team. Who's going to show up? They have multiple attack weapons that can make a difference.
And then Winneconnie and Xavier waits for the winner. And I think Xavier, if I'm not mistaken, beat Whitburn last year.
Yeah.
In the sectional. Yep. So obviously still some work to do for the Chargers. Division Four, Auburndale lost to Bondawell, another team from the CWC East. Second place, Bondawell beat Auburndale 55-36 to advance to face St. Mary Catholic tomorrow night in a sectional semifinal. And I saw Marathon lose to McDonald Catholic 48-32 on Saturday night. So McDonald taking on Cameron, but Bondawell the last Central Wisconsin team standing in that bracket.
Yeah, and they're a solid basketball team, as we talked. Got the regional final win at their home on their home court Saturday. But you saw Stratford lose to Neillsville, Auburndale lose to Bondawell, Marathon lose to McDonald Cat. All good opponents, yet three Marrowwood teams that made the regional final, which is something to be said about the middle
and
tier of the girls'
there
conference.
There is one Marrowwood South team standing, the Assumption Royals, number one seed. And talk about an interesting sectional semifinal, Pacelli. One loss this season for Assumption, 1 point loss at home to Pacelli.
You took my exact point. They're going to head over to Adams Friendship this Thursday, and we'll see how that all comes into play when that is the only blemish on your record. Because as Assumption, you got to come out, because that one would sting you if you're a true competitor, but it gives Pacelli a lot of confidence in what they're doing too.
And odds are the winner goes to state, because again, I got number four Oneida Nation, number three Sevastopol on the other side of the bracket. A lot on the line, and I think for a team like Assumption, they were disappointed in sectionals last year. They want to get back to state.
Yeah, as does Pacelli. So I think the strength is in that game, which is always a tough part about this. That's the game you want to see the next night. But the way the chips fall, that's what you got. So go enjoy that one if you're going
to
watch.
All right. Well, we got about a minute to go here. Any final thoughts? What are you thinking about a huge week here with regionals on the boys' side, sectionals on the girls' side, and state at hockey?
Well, state at hockey, I hope West wins because that's about as much as I know.
But get to the basketball. You don't have much time.
Yeah. So the I'm very interested in some of those Valley Conference games for the boys. The Everest West game is going to be a big one. The East Maryland one's going to be a fun rematch there. So some of those Valley games, as well as when you start to see the next tier with Marathon Auburndale, how do they get after each other? Even Stratford Edgar perplexes me in that first round just because I think it's a war. It's the third time they're going to see each other. And there's both confidence and anxiety on both sides, no matter how you shake it down.
And then, as you said, right back at it Saturday for these teams. So again, some interesting potential matchups Friday and Saturday. So a lot on the line, should be a lot of fun. We'll be back next week to talk about it.
And a ton of games that you're going to have on the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom will be doing Marathon Phillips. You should go there and do it with Tom on Friday night. And I'll have hockey. I'm trying to get back for West Everest as well. See you next week.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato, tickets at grandtheater.org.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Trump administration is granting to the big three automakers a one-month exemption to its new tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada. Ontario, Canada's premier, Doug Ford, says the only one benefiting from this is China.
China is flooding markets around the world, undercutting American and Canadian workers, and they're sitting back laughing, watching